Chapter 7. The Confection Connection was a small bakery with a pink and white awning. The awning was cute, but Lexi noticed right away that they had no cafe tables and no coffee station. Hardly competition for her place. Ida and Lexi stood at the bakery case inspecting the pastries. "The frosting is kind of skimpy on those cupcakes." Ida pointed to a row of cupcakes that, in Lexi's opinion, were barely frosted. She always tried to put at least an inch of frosting on hers, and these barely had a quarter of that. "I agree," Lexi whispered. "And look at how small the brownies are." Lexi always cut giant 4x4-inch brownies at the cup and cake, and the ones in this case were more like bite-sized pieces. "They're tiny," Ida hissed as she sidled over toward the counter. "I'd better order a sampling of some of these for taste testing purposes." While Ida ordered, Lexi joined Nan's at the muffin case. They had corn muffins, but none with sugar crystals. "Excuse me," Nan's called to the clerk who was ringing up Ida. "Do you have corn muffins with sugar crystals on top?" The clerk made a face. "Sugar crystals? No, that's gross." "Not necessarily," Nan said. "I love the little crunch those crystals make. Of course, one has to be careful not to break a tooth. Has anyone ever ordered some with those on them?" The clerk shook her head. "No, I would remember that. Not sure I would even do it. They have to be put on when the muffins are hot in order to stick. Are you ladies going to buy something?" Nan scanned the pastry case. "I'll have a lemon square and a molasses cookie." "They're kind of small. Better get two," Ida whispered. "I think I'll stick with one, trying to watch my weight." Nan's turned to Ruth and Helen, who were over by the window. "Do you want anything, Ruth, Helen?"
"No, thanks," they chorused.
By the time Nan's paid for her purchase, Ida had already devoured a brownie and was halfway into a cupcake. She leaned over toward Lexi and lowered her voice. "Not nearly as good as yours." Lexi was heartened by the compliment, but the warm feeling burst when Helen gasped and pointed at the window.
"Would you look at who's out there? I bet he followed us."
Lexi glanced out to see Mario Blondini and Endora walking away. Endora was munching on a chocolate cookie, and she glanced back with a smirk as Helen tapped loudly on the window. Helen watched them walk away, her eyes blazing with fury.
"Well, I never. He's moved my signs, he's piggybacking on my ideas, and now he's following me? The nerve."
At Ida's insistence, they stopped off at the cup and cake on the way back to Nan's. She said she needed some good pastries to get rid of the taste from the confection connection. Cassie was done with the morning's baking and pulled the fresh pastries from the case for them as they filled her in on their trip to the confection connection.
"I don't think it's anywhere near as nice as the cup and cake," Helen said,
taking the piece of red velvet cake she'd ordered over to the coffee station and pouring a dark roast into one of the white stoneware mugs that Lexi kept for customers to use.
"The portions are too small there."
Ida took a chocolate frosted brownie from Cassie and headed toward the cafe table near the window.
"That place is no competition for you."
Ruth patted Cassie's hand as she took an almond scone.
"You girls have nothing to worry about."
Lexi split a blonde brownie with Cassie and then sat at the table where the ladies were getting settled with their pastries and coffees. The ladies were right. That other bakery couldn't hold a candle to the cup and cake, especially with its scenic view of the waterfall across the street and the planter boxes overflowing with flowers lined up on the bridge railing. Lexi had been lucky to get this spot, and even luckier to be able to put her cafe tables at the window and outside on the wide sidewalk that overlooked the falls. Lexi picked at the blondie as she watched Nans put the lemon square and molasses cookies she'd gotten from Cassie next to the ones she'd bought at the Confection Connection. These are much smaller than Lexi's. Pride swelled in Lexi's chest as Nans pointed to the Confection Connection pastries, which were about half the size of hers.
They're puny, and the cookie doesn't look as moist.
Helen sank her fork through the thick layer of frosting and into the red velvet cake.
I bet the lemon is tart.
Ruth made a sour face.
I'll take one for the team and taste test it.
Ida grabbed the lemon square, put it in her mouth, and made a big show of chewing while making sour faces.
Yep, too tart.
The bells jangled, and Jack walked in.
Hey, I was hoping to find you all here.
He gave Lexi a quick peck on the cheek before continuing on to the coffee carafes.
I'm just picking up some coffees to go for me and John.
John Darling was Jack's partner, and also Cassie's husband. Cassie waved to Jack from behind the counter where she was rearranging the muffins on the muffin rack.
Hi, Jack. Give John a kiss for me.
Jack smiled.
I think I'll let you do that. Wouldn't want to give him ideas.
Nan spun around in her seat to face Jack.
It's so great to see you, Jack. I hardly ever see you anymore. And you haven't asked us to consult on any cases.
Jack put the lid on one paper cup and then started filling the second.
I miss you too, Mona. Maybe you should have us for dinner.
Nans turned back to the table and fluffed a napkin in her lap.
Speaking of dinner, I do have a batch of homemade ravioli in my fridge for you, which I'd be willing to trade for a consultant gig, or maybe some information on the Maguire case.
Ravioli? Cheese, mushroom, or spinach?
Jack asked. Nans's homemade ravioli were one of Jack's favorite meals.
Cheese, just the way you like them.
Jack placed the lid on the second cup and came to stand next to their table.
We don't really have a need to hire on consultants right now, but I did discover something interesting about the Maguire case that I can share.
Nans's brows shot up.
Do tell.
Have you considered that Henry Maguire might actually be the killer?
Jack asked.
Of course, that is one of the possibilities we are investigating,
Nan said.
But don't you agree that evidence is flimsy? And Muriel said he was such a good boy.
Jack gave her an indulgent smile.
Grandmas always think their grandsons are good. So I don't think we can really take that into account officially.
I guess not.
Nans bit into the cup and cake lemon square. Lexi noticed that Ida had managed to devour the one they'd brought from the Confection Connection and was now wrapping part of her brownie in a napkin.
What makes you think he did it?
Lexi asked. You sound like you have new information that might render the evidence we know about not so flimsy.
Jack sighed.
Well, I'm not aware of all the evidence since our department didn't investigate, so I can't say if it's flimsy or not. I did put some feelers out, and Henry's alibi is definitely sketchy. There's no one to corroborate that he was driving around after he left the hospital, and he would have had just enough time to rush home and murder his wife.
Nans made a face.
That doesn't sound like enough to convict him.
Of course it isn't. I'm sure they have more over at the new Ipswich Police Department, or they wouldn't have arrested him. I'm trying to get more information on the case without ruffling any feathers, but just keep in mind that Henry might not be the good little boy that Muriel thinks he is.
Seems he was picked up
on a loitering charge a few months back.
Loitering? Where? Lexi asked.
Under the bridge by the train track. It's policed pretty heavily, since vagrants and drug users are known to hang out there, Jack said.
Well, that does complicate things.
Nance chewed a bite of her molasses cookie, thoughtfully.
There might be more. I've got my feelers out. But for now, I think you should proceed with caution.
Jack looked down at Lexi.
We always do.
Lexi smiled up at him.
Jack nodded and started toward the door.
At least if Henry is the killer, he's no threat to you locked up behind bars.
Once Jack was out the door and safely out of earshot, Nance looked at them over the rim of her coffee mug.
And if he's not the killer, and someone wants the police to keep thinking that he is, then that person could be a very dangerous threat indeed.